trip around the NFC North on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan takes you to Detroit for a look at the Lions with Jamie Samuelson of 97.1 The Ticket and the Detroit Free Press. Follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Samuelson.
Jamie, hello, and I got to tell you, I'm going to steal a Harry Sidney line. Share some wisdom.
Yes. Jamie?
Jamie, are you there? I think we lost Jamie. I hear myself talk.
Huh. Let's get Jamie back then.
Your wheels are spinning, but you ain't going nowhere. Okay, we had Jamie. That was such a great intro, too. Now I forgot what I even said. It was so good. Nick Szepkowski is 670 The Score at 430. We'll go to the source. We'll talk Bears. And Manny Hill at 1500 ESPN. I heard that golden, those golden pipes.
It was still kind of disappointing, though, because that was a really good intro.
What did I say again? What was it?
It was Joe Willie Namath waving the finger.
Oh, yeah, giving the middle finger and the whole thing. And
then I went to Jim Bob Cooter, naturally.
It was so good. We'll probably see it in the promo somewhere. But, Jamie, through the wonders of technology and audio and all, we can splice this up to make it sound like you were right on cue. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're trying to stay warm and all that good stuff, but the Detroit Lions, my, they've all grown up. Jim Caldwell, if he's not in the conversation for Coach of the Year, he should be.
Absolutely. I think the front runners are probably, I would think, Jason Garrett. I would think Jack Del Rio out in Oakland, for sure. But at the same time, what Jim Caldwell's done, particularly starting 1-3, and then, coming off of last year and losing Calvin Johnson. I mean, nobody thought this was possible, and it might not still be possible because there's still three games to go. I mean, there is a tremendous level of angst in this city that I don't really know how to describe to you guys. And the Packers win on Sunday contributed to that mightily because there's a sneaking feeling, a sinking feeling almost, that this is all going to wind up on New Year's Day and these two teams will meet for the division championship. And depending on what happens around them, maybe very for a playoff berth, depending on what other teams do. So it's funny. I'd be curious your guys' reaction to this. Last week, going into the weekend, I was arguing that the best case scenario for the Lions would be for the Lions to win and the Packers to win because the team the Lions were chasing was the Seahawks. And everybody around here said, no. Green Bay. We want Green Bay to lose. No one cares about the two seed here. They just care about getting away and winning this division. That just shows you what 60 years of frustration will do to a fan base.
No doubt about it. I think around here, really, it's just like, you know what, just win every game and hope the Lions somewhere along the way. And I couldn't have done much for confidence either with the Giants doing what they did against the Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Giants, they won, but they didn't do it in overly impressive fashion. I think the two things that scare the Lions or Lions fans heading in is that, Odell Beckham Jr. is one of those guys where he could have 59 lackluster minutes, but he's always the potential there for a big play. And I would argue that he's the best receiver that the Lions have faced this year by a country mile. I mean, they, for whatever reason, the way their schedule has gone, they haven't gone up against guys like Dez Bryant or Amari Cooper. You know, they went up against DeAndre Hopkins for Houston, but he's having a bit of a down year. Brandon Cooks of the Saints, Steph Diggs, from Minnesota, but we all know what that offense is like. So this is a real big test for their secondary, real big test for Darius Slay. If he wants to be considered one of the elite corners in the NFL, he's going to have a chance to prove it on Sunday.
Jamie Samuelson, 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. It's the first stop on our trip around the NFC North. So everybody's talking about Matthew Stafford and that injury to his middle finger on his throwing hand. And I was hearing today about some different gloves they're trying with him, like no fingers covered except for the middle finger. I feel like that could become a new trendy thing in Detroit if they keep winning here. But what are they trying out with Matt Stafford and that finger?
Why are you talking to me about middle fingers, Marcus? I'm confused.
I had
by
to
this
go
question.
There because you don't talk about Jim Bob Cooter enough. That's why.
It's either Jim Bob Cooter or Stafford's middle finger. Matthew Stafford talks to the press once a week, and today when he did, he was asked every which way about every which glove, and he tried to deflect all those questions. And Jim Caldwell, same deal. But then once practice started, practice is open for about 10 or 15 minutes for photographers to get pictures. And yes, you could see him down there on the field wearing what, for lack of a better term, looked almost like a bowling glove, where it was a glove with no fingers on it, but yet the underside of the middle finger was somehow supported. So that's, I think, what they're going to try to go with. They have between now and Sunday, obviously, to figure out what's best for him, whether it's with a glove, without a glove. I think what was so frustrating for the Lions on Sunday is that the injury happened and they really didn't have a proper solution to go to, which is why he kept putting on two gloves, one glove, different glove, before he finally settled on this one glove on his right hand, which he wore for the remainder of the game. So I get the sense from Stafford, if all things being the same, he would like to play with no glove and just with tape on that finger, but that might not be possible. And then to add a wrinkle to all this, the weather conditions in New York on Sunday are expected to be actually somewhat warm for December, maybe 40s or 50s, but rainy. And so if it's rainy there, then you have a whole other issue. Can you gripping the ball is already an issue. Well, then you add to that a finger and rain, you know, what kind of a day will he possibly have? So that's going to be something to watch, certainly, going into the game.
Do they know? Because the finger is a tough thing. It's not like the knee or the ankle, and those are even tricky enough. But, Jamie, have they given any idea of, like, he could be healthy and, you know, where he doesn't have to wear anything on it by the playoffs, or is it something where more figure out how to just endure it and deal with it from now till the rest of the way?
You know, they haven't said, Chris. I think it's the latter, personally, because he was asked today whether he plans to have off-season surgery, and he quickly said no. But then he said, well, nothing's been scheduled yet, meaning maybe there is. Maybe it's the kind of thing where he will have to have surgery on it later on. You know, there's a lot of medical people around the NFL. I mean, there's a Twitter account I'm sure a lot of you guys follow. It's an NFL doc, a former doctor for the San Diego Chargers, who basically analyzes every injury as they happen. And he's been outspoken all week, saying this is really not that big a deal. A lot of players deal with it. He should be fine. It's his middle finger, not his index finger, not his thumb. If it were those, then we'd have a much bigger issue, but this is just his middle finger. You know, watching the game on Sunday, he was not quite himself at that point going forward. He did throw two interceptions, but he said afterwards, you know, the first interception was millimeters away from being a touchdown pass to Golden Tate. So that wasn't a cause of velocity or anything else. And then he threw a pick six, which was a bad decision on his part. But, you know, he said that was more of a decision-making process than a finger. So, again, all this is speculation. The bottom line is the Lions have three games remaining, two on the road and then the Packers game. They are an underdog Sunday. They'll most obviously be an underdog on December 26th in Dallas. And they got to win one of those two games. Otherwise, that Packer game will be for the division. And to win, as the Lions have proven this year, they need a capable Matthew Stafford. And if he is injured in any way, shape, or form, then they're in significant trouble because he is far and away the most important player on this roster.
Jamie, what about the running back position? Theo Riddick was surprisingly inactive last week. He no longer has a special place in my heart because I'm out of the playoffs partially because of him, but that's neither here nor there. Now Zach Zenner in the concussion protocol, so Dwayne Washington, is it going to be all him this week?
And Dwayne Washington has a bad ankle. I mean, he missed some time. They actually had to go at one point to their old friend Joyke Bell, who was signed before the game after spending some time with the Bears. So, you know, they're obviously hoping for improvement from Riddick. They really need him. He's a vital part of this offense. But they gave nothing to indicate whether or not he will be back on Sunday. But look, you look at the Giants. They're very good against the pass. They're not quite as good against the run. They're really going to need one of those guys to step up, and I would expect it, not Zenner, you know, because you just never know the concussion protocol, but I would think it'll be either Riddick or Washington, who will be dinged up a little bit, but will have to play. I mean, this is, like I said before, they're not must-win games with a two-game lead, but given the scenarios that all set up, they're going to really need him in there.
Hey, Jamie, the Lions' Darius Slay, you mentioned before, smart guy, quick multiple choice. He said this was pointless. A, the Bears' offense, B, the first 42 minutes of every NBA game, or C, the Pro Bowl.
Oh, that's a good question. I know he's a huge NBA fan. He loves Kobe. But at the same time, I would think he'd want to go to the Pro Bowl. And I wouldn't say that about the Bears, so I guess I'll say the first 42 minutes of every NBA game.
He actually said the Pro Bowl, it's pointless now because it's in Orlando, and he's like, skip it. I don't even want to be part of it.
But maybe he wants to be part of the big dodgeball game. I would think that'd be a
wouldn't that be fun,
huge
right?
reason to go.
How come you lost all your teeth? Well, I was playing dodgeball and something
playing
like
dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
Yeah, ways to spice up the Pro Bowl. Dodgeball.
Patches
that's
over
really
the
way to
is
do
that
it.
The right direction, Jamie? You have the state of the NFL. Just your satisfaction level. 3 weeks to go here. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago how there was kind of a rebirth, I think, with you know, a couple good games on a particular Sunday. You know, the Patriots obviously are a story. Anytime the Cowboys are even around are a story. And quite honestly, the reemergence of the Pack, I think, is encouraging as well. If Green Bay, you know, can win out from here and go into the playoffs on a bit of a roll, even though they won't be the one seed or the two seed, I still think they're going to be a pretty sexy pick for a lot of people heading in, the way the defense has been playing and the way Rodgers has been playing. So, you know, you got star players that are performing at a star level. You got some interesting races heading down the stretch. You got a guy like Matt Ryan who's put up a big year. His team is still in it. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's doing pretty well. And I'm, you know, it's a playoff season that I'm very much looking forward to. I don't think that you can clearly say it's a Patriot-Cowboys Super Bowl, because I think both those teams are, you know, I won't say they have Achilles heels, but they're leaking just a little bit. So I'm very interested to see, you know, how the playoffs unfold. I think, you know, the Chiefs are a team definitely to watch. I think the Packers are a team to watch. And the Giants, if they can, you know, take Sunday night's success and turn it into something, then they'd be a team to watch as well.
Great stuff, Jamie. Really appreciate it, man. Have a wonderful weekend. And, yeah, this is the time of year, the NFL.
So yeah, it is the season. All right, guys, good talking to you.
Take care. Jamie Samuelson, 97.1, the ticket, our Lions expert. We've got to get to a break. Nick Shepkowski, 670 to score on the other side, yes?
I feel like it's pretty funny. I mean, it's going to be bad weather and really cold weather in Chicago this weekend, but
brutal.
Like, none of us like this weather. You know, it's just not fun to be outside. But then when it comes to football, we hope for snow because it's fun to watch. We hope for rain, whatever, you know, anything that makes it enjoyable to watch. It's like, I hate it, but I love watching other people in it, you know? It's like people are mean, man, but it's the truth. That's how it is.
The trip around the NFC North on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan goes down to Chicago to get the latest on the Bears with Nick Shepkowski of 670 The Score in the Windy City. Follow Nick on Twitter at Shep670.
Shep, how you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm good. How about you guys?
Hey, doing well. Okay, I'm going to make a prediction. If the Bears win, the players of the game are going to be on offense Jordan Howard, and on defense, I'm thinking Eddie Goldman. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. I mean, if it's going to come from the offense, it sure as heck seems like it's going to be Howard or nothing. I mean, no offense to Matt Barkley, but people that are wanting him to be the quarterback of the future here offensively against the Lions, they score 10 points.
By future, they mean next week.
Nick, I think we're having a little trouble.
We are having a little
connection.
In and a little off. Should we try to reconnect?
Yeah, let's try to reconnect.
I feel like Dateline here.
I mean that, like, in the least, well, let's just try to reconnect the phone. Yeah, the connection.
There you go. That's Nick Shepkowski, 670 to score, our Bears expert. You're familiar with his work. I'm looking at the season leaders for the Packers, Aaron Rodgers. 32 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions, and he has been on one hellacious roll. He's already over Eclipse 3,500 yards. Eddie Lacy, by the way, remember that guy, Eddie Lacy?
I've heard of him.
Good trivia question. What number does Eddie Lacy wear? No one's seen him in so long. 71 carries, 360 yards, still the team leader.
27.
Chef, how you doing, man?
How about yourself?
Excellent, excellent. Always good to hear from you. I don't know what the heck we were talking about. Jordan Howard could do some damage against the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the Bears' offense is going to come from. They haven't been able to move the ball. I am a little bit curious to see Matt Barkley with Alshon Jeffrey coming back this week. Not really thinking a ton's going to happen there or a ton different's going to happen there. Just curious to see how those two will work together. But, yeah, if the Bears' offense is to get going at all, and by that I mean maybe put up 20 points, it kind of would be a nice way for the Bears to get going. When I say that, it would have to be the run game dominating this, because it's not going to be one that you look at Matt Barkley and say, go win this thing for us or do anything like that. He's kind of just the game-managing type that we've seen so far. And he's done an okay job of it. He's kept the Bears in games by not turning the ball over, but he's not going to be anything that's necessarily the big-time difference maker.
Well, Nick, you just mentioned Alshon Jeffrey back from suspension just in time to take on the Packers after sitting out for 4 games. Alshon playing, obviously, on the franchise tag this year, so he'll be a free agent. So he's playing kind of like an audition these final 3 games, whether he lands in Chicago or somewhere else. He's kind of got a lot to prove, does he not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at it, and Michael Floyd has the DUI this past weekend. He gets cut and released today. Alshon Jeffrey, another receiver, one of his big target receivers in a contract year that just nothing kind of went right. And that was his own, I mean, self-inflicted on both of them, on both counts. Rose Floyd with the DUI, just idiotic, no excuse for that. And Alshon Jeffrey, he does the excuse that every player ever has, but I mean, you're in the NFL. You have a hotline that you can call if you have any questions about anything whatsoever. That you're putting into your body, then don't try to fool it that way. And I mean, you look at a guy in Alshon Jeffrey that, okay, it was a year that he needed to stay healthy, and so far he had. But It's also when he gets busted for substance abuse as well. So you wonder how much of that went into keeping him healthy and keeping him on the field. Yeah, for being in his contract year, or actually playing on a franchise tag, I should say, things not going the way of Alshon Jeffrey would like if he's looking for that huge, massive payday that a lot of people were expecting for him at the start of the year.
That's Nick Shepkowski, 670 The Score, our Bears expert, our trip around the NFC North. We are brought to you in part by Papa John's. Go online at papajohns.com. Enter the promo code BADGERS50, half off all pizzas, the day of a Badger game. Bucks 9-0 the day after the Bucks score 90 or more points, win or lose.
Nick, as far as the Bears defense, Packers have been giving them a lot of credit for their front seven, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Leonard Floyd, the first-round pick, you've singled him out in the past recently as being a bright spot. But what are we looking at on that side of the ball? Maybe not a lot of household names, but they're playing well.
Yeah, Pernell McPhee is the other one that you have to look for when he's been out there. And he made his return this season. He missed the first six games of the year. He played his first game of the year, the first time the Bears played the Packers, up in Green Bay in mid to late October there. And that was the first that you guys probably got a close-up look with him, and he was on the field, I think, only like 20, 25 plays that day. Didn't do anything too memorable with that. But what you did see from that game, his presence alone, is when Leonard Floyd started to emerge. And Floyd's the one that I kind of look at and say, if this defense is going to keep playing at this level, it has a secondary that if the Packers can get time for Aaron Rodgers, it's only a matter of time before the Bears secondary is exploited. I don't have playmakers back there. Adrian Amos has been credited with being on the field, and he's made every start since he was a rookie up until last weekend. But he's a guy that can't really make a play on the ball. Hey, Tracy Porter's what you kind of look for in the secondary that gets some people excited. I don't know if I'm in the excited category as much as, all right, that's a body that you can throw out there, and he's not going to embarrass you, but he's not really going to make a whole heck of a lot of plays. So, yeah, I think it's all about pass protection with Green Bay and for Aaron Rodgers on Sunday, because if he's given time, I don't care who he's throwing to, if it's the collection of guys he had after Jordy Nelson went down last year, or everything that he's had to go through this year with it being Nelson and everyone else that's contributed there, he should be able to pick apart this secondary, because there's not a whole lot happening there. It's all up front, like you said.
What's your impression of Josh Sitton?
Well, he's been on the field, I guess probably two-thirds, three-fourths of the season. It hasn't been, I guess it's a good thing when I say an offensive lineman has gone kind of unnoticed. Did have a bad holding call last week that helped negate a drive that looked like it was going towards points or going towards at least getting 3 points on the board there. It hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been like, all right, need 3 yards, where are you going to run behind necessarily either. It's been far from that as well. So it's kind of, all right, decent, but I don't think that it's anyone in Green Bay is probably looking and saying, that's the difference between being a Super Bowl contender and not. Like,
so Josh Sitton, a former Packer, but right now the Packers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, turned things around. I remember earlier this season, Nick, asking you if, like Space Jam style, if the Monstars came down and just stole his talent because he didn't look like Aaron Rodgers. But here during this win streak, he's really turned things around. Looks like a special quarterback once again. What's your overall perception of Aaron Rodgers as the season's rolled on?
Well, I mean, you watch him against Seattle last week, and I know it's their first game playing without Earl Thomas, and when he's in a secondary, it makes a difference between night and day for what a defense is able to do. But he's picking apart that Seattle defense. I think a week or two ago, I told you guys that I thought Seattle was the best team in the NFC, that when healthy they were, and obviously the Earl Thomas injury changes that, but what Rodgers was still able to do, picking apart that defense, I don't care if it was in Green Bay, where that game was played. Hey, he put up 38 points against that defense, and he deserves all the credit in the world. Sure seems like his last 4 or 5 weeks, he's really firing on all cylinders. And it's been a defense that I know we think of the, 56 or whatever points it was that he put up against Mark Trestman. Also, I think there's one other blowout in there under Trestman as well. But it's been a defense with the Bears that traditionally, I'm not going to say has contained Rodgers, but they, for the most part, outside of a couple of blowouts there. I mean, the Lovie Smith era, it seemed like it was 20-17 or 17-14 every two times the two teams played. But I mean, even last year, that game up on Thanksgiving when Brett Favre had his jersey retired, I believe, it was a defense that was no name defense was able to hold Rodgers in check all evening, and Bears were able to steal a victory there. With that said, I think that the Bears can keep this thing close. They can keep it interesting, but I'd be very surprised I'm not going to be running to the window, at least I should say, to be thinking Matt Barkley and Aaron Rodgers if it comes down to like the last 5 minutes of the game.
All right, last thing. Do you think MVP, is it going to be Tom Brady? Aaron Rodgers get back in the conversation?
It seems like all the momentum's going towards Brady right now. I mean, you look at what he's been able to do and tears apart a good Ravens defense just the other night on Monday Night Football. The Patriots look like they're as good a thing, if not the best thing in the NFL team-wise this year. And everything that goes into that, I think there's some writers that did vote on that and decide that they probably have anger or angst at least towards Roger Goodell and everything with the Flategate. So I would say that Brady is my runaway. Derek Carr kind of took a step back. That was an awful showing last Thursday. He would have been in this discussion. I think I have to lean at least Brady for now. Sure, things can change last month here of the season, but I think it's Brady's to lose. I think he's got a good lead on that, at least for the time being.
Great stuff. Stay warm, and I look forward to visiting with you next Wednesday talking about Packers and Bears, man.
Yeah, we're looking at a high of 5 down here on Sunday after it snows all day Friday and Saturday. So
high five.
Just warm right. If you're making the trip down.
Nice.
Awesome. A little negative wind chill action. All good stuff, Shep. Take care, man.
All right. You too.
Nick Shepkowski, 670 to score, our Bears expert. There you go. Packers, 6.5-point favorite. 41 for your total. A little lower scoring game, they think, in the cold.
I mean, I'll be indoors, and I'll be feeling nice and toasty. And
you'll be all right. You'll be holding pretty well.
My feet will be up, and it'll be terrific.
Coffee or hot chocolate if you had a choice?
You know what? Secret of the pros, when I worked at the Hall of Fame over at Lambeau, one of the ladies, co-worker, told me to mix the two of them. You get your caffeine, you put a little cocoa in there, tastes glorious.
Okay, I'd try that maybe a little
try
bit.
Try it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
She wasn't covering up any vodka or anything like that.
I don't think she was.
Okay.
Shout out to Joanne.
All right, very good.
Likely not listening, but still a true story.
And hopefully your supervisor isn't either, just in case on the odd chance.
Shout out to Chris.
Manny Hill, 1500 ESPN on the other side. We'll talk Vikings, Adrian Peterson, the latest there, Mike Zimmer's eye, and a whole lot more here on The Fan.
The trip around the NFC North on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan. Heads up north to Minnesota to check in on the Vikings with Manny Hill of ESPN 1500, the Twin Cities. Follow Manny on Twitter at MannyHill84.
Manny, how are you doing today?
Not bad, Chris. How are you?
Excellent. We're trying to stay warm here like everybody else is and all that good stuff. But
it's cold.
Yeah, well, Minnesota, they got that fancy stadium there.
It's
holy
pretty.
Cow, it is beautiful. They're going to get to use it against the Colts. You 7-6 Vikings, Manny. How are you feeling about them today?
Well, they got a much needed win against Jacksonville on Sunday, and it wasn't pretty. You know, they struggled to, the same way they've struggled really all year offensively, and that was just getting the ball into the end zone. They moved the ball with pretty good effectiveness against a pretty underrated Jacksonville defense, but it was just finishing drives again. They just had to settle for a lot of field goals. So it shows up as 25-16 on the official score sheet, but it really was a lot more lopsided than that.
I did want to mention, Manny, very seldom you hear head coach Mike Zimmer just doing cartwheels over 25 points, and it was all by the offense. Didn't get any help from anybody else.
Yeah, we scored these points ourselves.
Yeah, and that's kind of been sort of an unorthodox method of doing things with this team. I mean, let's be honest, they've struggled to put points on the board, and typically they've, you know, when they got off to that 5-0 start, it always seemed to be the defense making a big play to either score a touchdown themselves or, you know, force a big turnover and put the offense in a position to score. So to see the offense move the ball as well as they did on Sunday against a pretty good Jacksonville defense, it was good to see. It's just a matter of, you know, finding a way to finish those drives and get into the end zone a little more often instead of having to settle for, I think it was 5 field goals on Sunday.
Manny Hill, 1500 ESPN here on The Fan for our trip around the NFC North. So this week, the Packers see Alshon Jeffrey come back for the Bears. And then on Christmas Eve, they come downstairs and they huddle around the tree, and there's Adrian Peterson ready for him on Christmas Eve. Is he going to be back in time for Green Bay?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Marcus, to be honest with you, I would not be surprised if he played on this Sunday against Indianapolis. You know, he's been pulled off of IR now, and he's practicing this week. They're saying, and he's saying that he wants to mark Christmas Eve, that game at Lambeau Field, as a game that he comes back. But I would not be surprised if, you know, they decide come this Friday or Saturday that he's going to suit up and be ready to play on Sunday, especially if they feel like, you know, a guy like Harrison Smith is not going to be in the lineup on defense, where they feel like they're going to have to score even more points on offense to sort of try and outscore this Indianapolis offense that has been pretty good, obviously, with a healthy Andrew Luck. So I would not be surprised. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't take it to the bank that he's going to play on Sunday, but it would not shock me at all if he did.
Are you fairly confident the Lions are going to lose one of the next two against the Giants and the Cowboys?
I gotta think so. I mean, that's a tough stretch of games going, you know, coming up here for the Lions, and then of course they close out at home against the Packers. So I mean, it's a tough stretch. I mean, the Lions continue to sort of defy the odds, it seems like, and they, you know, everybody's sort of waiting for them to collapse and fall flat on their faces, because historically that's kind of what they've always done. But they keep finding ways to win football games, and Matthew Stafford, even when he gets banged up, is able to stay in there and hang in there and make some plays for them. So they've got chances to win these next couple games, but they're going up against a couple teams, I think, that are better than them. So we'll see how it goes.
Manny, I want to ask you about the receiver position. Earlier this year, Stephon Diggs was putting up great numbers. The first-round pick, Laquon Treadwell, has yet to really get involved. But the guy who's really broke out is Adam Thielen. 4 catches for 101 yards last week. He had a 41-yard catch.
Yeah.
I mean, every week he's the guy that's really contributing week in and week out. Who is this guy, and what has he added to this offense?
Well, he's turned himself into a pretty good football player, and he was an undrafted guy out of Minnesota State a couple of years ago, and he just sort of came out of nowhere and turned some heads as, you know, a guy that just sort of contributed on special teams and just did all the little things, and then he found himself into the starting lineup as a receiver opposite of Stephon Diggs, and he's been making plays. He's been reliable. He runs good routes. He's a hard worker, and he does all the little things necessary to keep himself on the field. And you know, he had the tough fumbled punt return against Dallas last week, but you know, aside from that, he's been about as reliable a player as there is on this football team right now, and it's nice to see. He's going to get a nice check here. I think he's going to be up for free agency this coming offseason, I believe. So he's going to get paid, whether it's by the Vikings or somebody else, and he's definitely earned it.
You know, Manny, just like the Packers last year, 6-0 about this time of year seemed like forever ago. Vikings, yeah. They were 5-0 at one point. And Mike Zimmer, there was talk about coach of the year. Just what's the level of satisfaction with the 1-2 punch there, the GM and the head coach in Minnesota? Or if fans kind of just shrugged their shoulders because of the injuries and said, well, whatever happens this year. And I'm curious about Teddy Bridgewater, the projection. Anything new with him at all?
Well, as far as Teddy's concerned, there really hasn't been anything new. And I think they still want to wait and see a few more months before they can sort of take a look at that knee and see how it's healing. I think that's just sort of the way the injury is. That injury is sort of looked at as, you know, after you have surgery, you wait a few months and let him do some rehab and just see how that sort of thing progresses. So I think we'll find out probably sometime in the offseason, you know, where Teddy's at and how soon he may be able to come back. You know, the nice thing is that you do have a Sam Bradford on the field, too, that signed through next year that you can rely on in case Teddy's not ready. As far as Zimmer's concerned, he's got about as good of approval rating as you can imagine for a head coach. I mean, everybody loves him here, and he's got like Teflon in his chest right now. Any little mistake that he may make during a game, the fans are just like, no, it's not his fault. You know, it's this guy and that guy. Yeah, it's crazy. But the fans are pretty satisfied with him, that's for sure.
Boy, I hope he enjoys it while it lasts. That's great stuff, man. Yeah. You have a wonderful weekend. Visit with you next Wednesday. Great info, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Manny Hill, 1500 ESPN. That concludes this portion of our trip around the NFC North. Sportsline brought to you in part by Papa John's. Go online at papajohns.com. The day of a Badger game like today, enter the promo code BADGERS50, half off all pizza. Bucks 9-0 the day after the Bucks score 90 or more.
Yes.
So you got it all going on there for Papa John's, Marcus.
Yes.
Our number one in the books here. We've got Badger basketball, 7 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock tip, taking on the Fighting Phoenix. That should be interesting there for sure. And Boy, big point spread. Not anyone giving really the Phoenix a whole lot of chance. 22.5, but the way Wisconsin's been playing lately, who can blame you?
Yeah, in-state battle on the hardwood tonight at the Kohl Center. And then, of course, Friday night, UW-Oshkosh in the Stag Bowl for the first time. And we've got some audio from Coach Pat Cerrone. He joined us yesterday, air it out. Just kind of interesting. All coaches kind of talk about the same things, like people committing 110%, get after it. But, I mean, he gives all the credit in the world to this group of guys. It's pretty exciting for UW-Oshkosh.